Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Fired around looking for Heischer, but Byram is there. And then he puts it right into the skates of Meyer. He's got Heischer in front, and they bang it in. Sabres in behind the net. Cough it up, and the Devils pounce quickly. They get the first of the game here.
That was the first of the game. Nico Heischer in the first period. Dan Dunleavy on the call. And, well, for Buffalo, that's all the Devils would need. The Sabres unable to score, and they fall by a score of 5-0. That's the game winner from Heischer, and that is our goal of the game today. It's brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center, live in the press box. Brian Colziel, Pat Mollicaro is sitting up here with me as well. Paul Hamilton's on his way to the Sabres dressing room. We'll get some player reaction here coming up in just one moment. But a 5-0 New Jersey win here today. Despite Buffalo outshooting Pat, the Devils 42-23. It's their season high in shots. The shot attempts were heavily in favor of the Sabres, but they just were unable to beat Jake Allen at all.
And I think this is a case of quantity over quality. And yes, when you put 42 shots on goal, you should come away with one or two goals at least. But if the lane is open for the goaltender to see him, if they're coming from the outside a lot and the rebound chances aren't being converted on, then your 42 shots maybe aren't as good as the 23 for New Jersey, especially when you've got guys coming down the slot with open looks. And again, you know, maybe you want your goaltender to make a save. Maybe that's unfair, but you have guys that are open in really good quality areas getting behind the defense, and they're scoring those goals, whereas the Sabres maybe played a little bit too much around the outside. And again, a reason why you put 42 shots on, but was the quality of those shots enough? And I guess the answer is no, because you end up with zero.
The shot attempts, I mean, this is an astronomically big gap. 87-38 in favor of Buffalo. I mean, that is more than double. I mean, you would think Buffalo would be the team that, if I just solely gave you that, you would think they won 5-0.
Right, so they had energy. They had They had opportunities. Again, it's one of the things we come back to, you know, just so many times now, just the ability to finish is not there. And when you get down by one or two and, you know, it becomes three or four, and, you know, in the third period, look at how New Jersey scored their goals. One of them is where Cotter is able to get behind the defense, and just a stretch pass allows him to break in on goal and use a nice move to get a goal. And, you know, Grit took second of the game. You know, again, an open opportunity in a really quality spot. So only 23 shots, but the Devils certainly had the better opportunities to finish, and they did.
5-0 the final. Again, we'll be getting live locker room reaction coming up here with Paul Hamilton in just one moment. We saw Alex Lyon for the first time, as we said, his full first complete game in 20 days, Pat. There were some rebounds here and there overall. I mean, in the end, when Buffalo scores zero, I guess dissecting whether Lyon was good enough or not, maybe it almost kind of it drops down the ladder in terms of maybe things that maybe we should be discussing here.
Well, you're right, and that's something that's happened more than once. And you've seen starts by Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen where, yes, would you like him to make a save here or there? Sure, but in the end, if you don't score, does it matter in the long run? And the answer is no. So I think all three goaltenders have had those where at the end of the game, if you don't score any goals, they were the goaltender. You can talk about a goal here or there, but they were good enough. Alex Lyon was good enough in this game to keep this team in it early on, and then the Devils certainly broke it open in the third.
Yeah, third period wasn't good in terms of the goals against, but, I mean, it was only a 2-0 game here
right.
heading into the third period. Now, I mean, incredible the fact that with Buffalo having 87 shot attempts, I also am going to bring up a point that they passed up on some things that they could have tonight. Zach Benson, I would say, is at the top of that list for me.
Right. You only have two power play opportunities in the game. And what's one thing that is really, when the Sabres are playing well, it's the power play has really contributed. And were there any quality chances? And I know one of them was shortened because it was about 27 seconds of 4-on-4. So it wasn't a full 2 minutes that second power play. But out of a minute and 40 or 3 minutes and 40 seconds of power play time, give or take, how much of it was really, you know, making quality chances and shots on goal?
Yeah, and that's ultimately in the end here, too. We can credit Jake Allen for stopping all 42, but how many of them were the jaw-dropping grade
right.
A scoring chances? I know Paul likes to bring that up all the time, and I don't know if I have a ton of them that I would say I could put up there.
So it means the Devils were doing a good job of keeping the net front in front of Allen clear, I think, in the end, too. You know, the couple of times you get a stick in the lane and you deflect the shot wide, and that's one of those 80-some chances that don't result in a shot but are one of those shot opportunities. And then Allen's able to see everything. Well, if he's able to see it, there's more opportunity to save it. And I think that's one of the differences in why Jake Allen was able to make the saves early, at least, that made this kept it a 1-0 game or 2-0 in that second.
5-0 New Jersey, the final. Buffalo will be right back at it. They'll be packing up here quickly and heading out to the airport and then off to Minnesota. They'll take on the Wild, who just this today won their 7th game in a row. So Minnesota playing very, very well. The Sabres are going to get a good team there tomorrow. All right, let's go down to the room. Alex Lyons up first live with Paul.
Alex, been since the beginning of November since you had a full game in the net. How did you feel in the net finally getting back in?
I didn't feel too bad. Probably game felt better than the score. But that being said, you know, it's been a while since I've won a game. And so for me, that's really the most important thing. And just disappointing, obviously, and I got to find a way to do a little bit more.
You talk about winning a game, but this is a team sport also. I mean, you can't win it on your own.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, everybody wants to score, and my job is to stop pucks, and so that's all I'm going to focus on. And, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up over it, but, you know, it's important that everybody holds themselves accountable as well. And we got to continue to do the right things and continue to hammer on the details and it'll turn around.
Was this a tough game to get a rhythm?
Yeah, for sure. The first period was probably the most, they kind of had some volume there, and it's difficult always when their goalie is making a lot of saves, and obviously he was feeling pretty good tonight. So, frustrating game. Frustrating outcome, but we got to turn it around quickly.
From your perspective, what was New Jersey doing to maximize their chances?
Yeah, I thought, I just thought that they capitalized when they had chances, and it's just the way it goes. I really don't, you know, think about it too much like that. I always want to tell myself that I can make every save, and that's part of it. They did a good job capitalizing for sure. And Jake Allen played great there. But like I said, quick turnaround here.
With you, as long as you've been in the league, you've been in all sorts of situations, including the one you've been in the past month or so here. How do you keep yourself ready?
Yeah, just it's the name of the game. I mean, it's survival, and you win games, you get to stick around, and you play well, you get to stick around. So that's just what I try to do. And Colton and UP have been playing well and winning games. So credit to them. And just have to keep a good vibe and can't get frustrated with the short term.
The fight from Tage early in the game, it seemed like it really sparked the crowd. Did Do you expect it to maybe spark the team a little more than it did?
I think it did spark us. I mean, credit to him for doing that. And obviously everybody knows kind of the situation there. But, you know, that's not an easy thing to do for anybody to stand up in that situation. I played with Steph in Chicago, and he's a tough guy as well. So, yeah, credit to him, credit to you know, I think the team did respond.
Alex Lyon in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Alex Lyon in net here today. Faced 23 New Jersey shots, 5 goals against, as he made 18 saves. And again, in his first full game since November 8th, 20 days ago, when he played in Raleigh against the Hurricanes. Back to the room. Here's Tage Thompson now live.
Tage, you decided you're going to take care of your own business and did so. Was that just something that you wanted to do and you weren't going to have other people do it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of guys in the room asking, but I said I wanted to do it. And, I mean, I think it's a nice thing that everyone wanted to do it, but figured I'd take care of my own business. Yeah.
Why was it so important to you to be able to do that?
I think we all know what happened last year. I didn't really like the hit, and talked to him in warm-ups and said he would give me one, and I respect that, and yeah.
That really ignited the crowd. It seemed to get everyone going. What did you guys not take the energy the way you thought you would? You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like you guys had kind of seized the early momentum, and nothing happened really.
I mean, I thought there's a lot of energy on the bench, and I thought our team was playing well. I think we controlled the first two periods pretty handily. Obviously, the score didn't indicate that, but you know, I thought we had a lot of chances, a lot of opportunities. I think whatever energy or momentum we did kind of have early on in the game kind of got snuffed out by their goalie. He was playing a hell of a game, and it's frustrating when you're getting chances and looks and they're not going in, especially when you feel like they should. So and then on the flip side, you know, they're an opportunistic team, and give up a couple opportunities and it's in the back of our net. Yeah, it was just a frustrating game, I think. I don't really think the score really tells the full story of how we played. I liked our game. Obviously, you can't sit there and say you like a 5-0 loss, but no, I thought we did a lot of good things and obviously came out on the wrong side of it. But you're going to run into hot goalies sometimes, but we just got to find ways to get it in the net. We had plenty of chances, and obviously Lyon keeps it tight there going into the third, and we got to do our job and put it in the net. You can't if you don't score any goals.
It seemed like there were a lot of pucks laying around the crease there too that you guys didn't get to. Did you maybe have to be harder on those, the ones that were laying around? It seemed like there were quite a few of them there.
Yeah, there's a lot of pucks just laying there. I think we were around the crease all night. I think it was just kind of bad puck luck, a couple bad bounces off skates. Just for whatever reason didn't connect, but I thought we were doing the right things. And you know, that's kind of what I talk about is, you know, when you're doing the right things, you're getting looks and it's not going in, don't change it. So I think, you know, fortunately for us, we got an opportunity tomorrow to get another crack at a game here and put this one behind us. And now I think we just kind of got to repeat the same things we did tonight. Obviously, I would say limit the odd man rushes, but you also got to tip your cap to them. They put it in the back of the net every chance they got, and we didn't. So that was just the way it went tonight.
Thank you, Tage. Tage Thompson in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Thompson there with Paul. Again, yeah, I thought, you know, him fighting Nason there right away, I thought that was great. 2:24 into the game. The fact that he wanted to do it himself, I thought very good. It brought energy. He obviously handled himself very well in the fight. He performed very, very well too. And I would agree with him. I thought there was good energy for the first 40 minutes of this game. Some of it Allen, some of it the Sabres not finishing their opportunities. You know, in the end, as the shot attempts were 87-38, like, you figured, geez, you know, at some point that should have gone in. But I didn't think the grade A chances were as high as they needed to be overall. All right, so Paul Dunn in the room there. Our locker room reports brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I want to welcome Outlet Liquor, new this week to our Sabres broadcast partnership. So thank you, Outlet Liquor. 5-0, New Jersey, the final We're going to have Lindy Ruff in his live postgame comments coming up here in just a little bit. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's final take after we talk to Lindy Ruff here in just a few moments. And again, this team will be on the road going to Minnesota tomorrow to take on the Wild, who won their seventh straight game here today. We'll get the full scoreboard coming up with Pat here in just a little bit. Let's get you now some final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in this game, 42 for Buffalo. Season high. Their previous high was 40 against the Bruins on October 30th. That was the only other time Buffalo had hit 40 this year. And New Jersey had just 23 in this game. So they converted. I mean, five goals on 23 shots. I know Alex Lyon's not going to like that for his save percentage numbers for sure. And the shot attempts, even more one-sided. Buffalo with 87 and New Jersey 38. Power plays in the game. Buffalo 0 for 2, had about 1.5 power plays. New Jersey 0 of 1. In the nets, Allen gets the win, 42 shots, 42 saves. The loss to Alex Lyon, 18 save effort on 23 shots. And now, your three stars of the game, brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home comfort's game plan. Get started at bluestarhs.com. Paul Cotter, star number 3, he had New Jersey's fourth goal on a breakaway. It was Arseny Grichniuk with 2 goals, star number 2, and he had his 5th and 6th of the season. And Jake Allen with the shutout, 42 save effort. He is star number 1. There's our, again, three stars brought to you by Blue Star Home Services. Our attendance today here at KeyBank Center, 19,070. That's a sellout. And again, the Sabres will be on the road tomorrow at Minnesota. That's an 8 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame at 7. And then the Sabres' next home game will be here to start the month of November, or December, rather, on the first Monday against Winnipeg. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
How much respect?
Yeah, I got a ton of respect for that. You know, I said this morning that, you know, the team's in a pretty good place where it comes to responding and doing the right thing. That's something they dealt with on their own, and I got the ultimate. I think that's the guy that hit him. The fact that he wanted to go after him, I thought was great.
You had a lot of early energy from that. Disappointed you weren't able to.
What's that? Yeah,
you got a lot of early momentum from that fight, just the energy from it. I mean, disappointed you couldn't do more with it, I guess.
We left too many chances out there. I mean, there was a couple that tough bounces on us. We had some around the net front that, you know, didn't go our way. That power play in the second period, a couple good looks. You know, I know everybody, including myself, I think Benson should have taken it to the net. We missed empty net like in the third. We started to press. I mean, you don't like giving up but we decided we were going to press hard to try to get back in it. You're going to press hard. You know, we've talked about this. You're going to give something up. You know, careless with that. But, you know, that first 40 minutes is we had opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net, and I think we missed those opportunities. The opportunities we gave them on, you know, a couple of our poor plays, they took advantage of.
Tough is that when guys are passing on such great looks, because the first couple periods were loaded with lots of takes, lots of looks at the net, and guys are passing instead.
Yeah, you know, we put a lot of pucks there. If you know, we chose a couple times, we chose the wrong play. You know, and I know that I talked to Benson on the bench about, you know, which is the right and which is the wrong in my eyes. I can't make that decision in the spur of the moment. They have to make that decision. That's on them to try to make the right decision. You know, if you look at the couple of plays we made, I'll just reference the back door, the Samuelson to Zucker, who was on the back door. That's what we were trying to do, build a wall in the back door. He puts it in, it hits what we needed to hit his skate, going in the net, hits their skate and keeps it out. You know, if we throw it from up top, we probably don't get that good a look. We made one more pass, we got a great look. So there's times in the game where, you know, the pass is real good. Then there's times I think, you know, you can look at it and go, boy, I wish we wouldn't have left that one out there.
Lindy, do you have an update on Matias Samuelson after the elbow to the face?
He was in concussion protocol afterwards. I don't have an update, but I haven't, whether he passed that or whatever, I don't have an update.
How do you feel about what you got out of Alex Lyon, first time he's played in a while?
If you look at the first one, really crazy, crazy goal. Those late ones you can't look at where your goalie gets exposed, the turnover that Dylan, you know, he maybe could, it's a bomb from there, but you know, hope you get a save. I look at shots. Do they go through them? Are they, you know, the goal in the second period? I think the Grizzly goal kind of threw a screen through a couple people. That's a tough one to pick up. We had similar looks that we didn't put in. So
the three goalie rotation is kind of making it a little challenging to get consistency in there from.
I've always said that it's not an easy process to go through. It's not easy for them. It's not easy for myself. But it is and was based on the fact that, you know, we had a goaltender. We didn't know if he was going to be healthy or not, and we were trying to protect ourselves. And I think we've done a good job trying to work through it. Alex was working on some stuff in his game that is the reason we didn't play on him. He had missed more time than we thought. You don't want to see a guy sit that long in between games for sure.
You talked about the shot volume and everything, but it seemed like, to me, there were a lot of pucks laying around the crease. Do you maybe have to get a little harder on those?
There was times I thought we had bodies there, we had people there, that I think a couple times we drifted away that, you know, we might have been able, I'm going to have to look at it. There's a couple I didn't. But when we talk about a net anchor, having a guy around the front of the net, I thought we had that. It wasn't that he was getting clear shot. A couple times there was tips that, you know, just went the wrong direction or we had people in place. I'm a believer you can always do a better job. You can always somehow dig in and get that extra effort to try to.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Put one in. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back upstairs here to the press box, Brian Colziel with you. A 5-0 New Jersey victory as the Sabres fall in this one tonight in their 24th game of the season. They will remain in last in the Atlantic and the East. We will update you on the standings here coming up in a little bit after we get Pat's scoreboard. All right, still to come when we come back. We'll get you our save of the game. We'll get you scores from around the league, standings. We'll also read some tweets as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send me your thoughts on Twitter after this game here. On Twitter at BrianWGR. At this time, though, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, if you're coming out of KeyBank Center, we appreciate you listening here on a Black Friday. Final score, it was New Jersey 5 and Buffalo nothing. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Trying to bounce that to the faceoff dot. Instead, Krebs below, out to the corner. Quick shot as Malenstein lets that one rip, and Allen makes the stop.
Jake Allen, number one star in net for the Devils. 42 saves. Shutout. Buffalo falls to the Devils 5-0. And we welcome you back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro here. Paul Hamilton down in the media room. We'll get to Paul in just one moment. That was your save of the game with Dan Dunleavy on the call, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 5-0 New Jersey, Buffalo, they're not getting a goal despite the shot attempts being 87-38 in this one. A season-high 42 shots. The only other time Buffalo got past the 40-shot mark was October 30th at Boston when they had 40. So a season high in shots. The shot attempts were 87-38. But, man, zero goals, and you lose 5-0. The energy off the Tage fight right away I thought was good, and I thought the energy for the first two periods was good, but the Sabres have no goals to show for it. And in the end, as you know, Tage Thompson says, I'll use his words here to paraphrase, like, yeah, we still lost. Like, all right, before we read some tweets and get some scores from Pat, let's go down to the media room. We'll get Paul Hamilton's final take. Paul, you hear the shot totals. You hear the shot attempts. You would have said, if I said it was 42-23 in shots and 87-38 in shot attempts, if you didn't watch the game, you would have said Buffalo won 5-0.
Yeah, but it was probably the easiest shutout that Allen ever had in his career. I mean, did he – how many –
Grade A chances, not many at all. You're right.
Any? I mean, it seemed like the grade A's didn't get through or miss the net, or if they fanned on him, I don't think he actually had to stop him. I never once thought to myself, oh, wow, what a save. Now, I thought they got goalied in Pittsburgh. I thought Jari made some great saves in that game and stopped the Sabres from winning. But the thing that's stuck with me is I don't think they worked hard enough around the crease. They were around the crease. I agree with Lindy Ruff, and that's why I don't think they worked hard enough. Pucks were laying there all night. They never got to them. The Devils won that battle every single time. Because if the Sabres would have won one of those battles, they'd have a goal. They didn't win one. You know, with those pucks laying around the crease, and they were there a lot, the Devils won the battle every single time. And this is a good hockey team. It amazes me they're not better in the playoffs, because I think they're such a good team. But they just seem to flame out when it's playoff time. But, you know, so you're playing a good, hard hockey team that only needed 23 shots to score 5 goals, allowed 42, but at the end of the day knew that the Sabres were not getting good chances and that Allen was not under stress. He was basically making the saves that he had to make. That's what I said about Lukanen the other day. You know, he made the saves that he had to make and had a good game. You know, you just – this isn't something that I've had to say in a long time. It's something that we had to say almost every game before. But it's not too many times that I talk about how, you know, they just weren't hard enough around the net. I thought they've had a big improvement on that this year, but not in this game. There were just too many pucks laying around, and Lindy talked about chances that they passed up. It
he
just seems like Austlin.
He said Benson was at the lead of that.
Seems like Austlin wants to pass every time he gets the puck. He doesn't even look at the net half the time to see if he has an open shot. And Benson, I don't understand. This guy is a goal scorer when he was in junior. I mean, he had 98 points his last year in junior. I mean, he could put the puck in the net but he just wants to, you know, he's a young kid, and maybe he's intimidated a little bit by the National Hockey League and feels that, you know, I haven't made it yet, so I need to defer to a veteran and try to force a pass to him instead of taking the shot. And every time he does it, the pass gets picked off or hits a skate or doesn't make it. You know, and you know, it's like he's lost every inch of confidence that he has in his own ability to score a goal. It just seems like it's shot. He doesn't think he can score a goal, so he's always just going to pass the puck. So, you know, that was part of it. But, you know, they just need to be harder around the net to be able to score some goals. And, you know, it's just, you know, you play well for 4 out of 5 games and you win 4 out of 5 and things seem to be going well. But where did that get you? I mean, you're in such a deep hole because of how many teams that are around you, not because of how many points you're behind, that picking up 8 out of 10 points got you up one place in the standings. And you lose one game. And you're going to lose games. I mean, absolutely, you're going to lose games. You lose one game. And all that went astray because now you're back into the cellar of the Eastern Conference. So that just shows you what is it going to take if they somehow get close to the playoffs. It's going to take a 10 to 15 game winning streak to do that. 4 out of 5 isn't going to get it done. You know, it's going to take 10, 15 games in a row. Do you think that anybody, raise your hand if you think they have that in them.
My hand's not up. I know you can't see me, Paul. I can't see yours, so I'm going to assume it's not up either. Yeah. The most, Paul, that they've won in a row this year is 2, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were looking for, you know, a stretch there.
Well,
the best stretch of hockey was lately, right? They were 4-1, and then they had a stretch there where they had points in 7 straight when they won 3 games and lost 4 in overtime. So those are some good stretch, fairly good stretches in there. I mean, coming into today, Paul, though, like they had won 4 of their last 6, and they were still in last.
Yeah.
So that's how hard it is to get up the standings.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
If they were 7 points behind and in 9th place, I wouldn't even be having this conversation. It'd be like, they're fine. We're not even to the new year yet. You got to make up 7 points on one team. You can do that.
Right.
That, to me, that's not even something that is a problem. But when you're only a couple of points or however many points they're behind now, but you got to leapfrog 8 teams, that's just you've just put yourself in a hole that you're just not going to get out of. And, you know, they also had a streak this year where they had 1 regulation loss in, what was it, 10 games? 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And still, here they are. They had a streak like that. They're in last place in the conference. They took 8 out of 10 points. They're in last place in the conference. And not going to get any help tomorrow. Yeah, Minnesota played 2. They played at home. They've also won 7 in a row.
They just beat Colorado today in a shootout at home. Yeah.
Yeah. So good luck with that one.
Yeah.
And teams coming in that has won 1 road win all year, and that was a win where they were behind 4-1 and only played 1 decent period. And give them credit, they came back and won the game. But it wasn't a 60-minute effort by any means.
Yeah, Minnesota 9-0-1 in their last 10. They've won 7 games in a row, including just beating Colorado this afternoon. So Minnesota will be home again tomorrow, so they'll be the more rested team for sure. I mean, they both have played, so it's not a huge advantage, but there is travel upcoming here for Buffalo this evening as they'll go to St. Paul to get ready for that game tomorrow. 5-0 New Jersey winning here as the Sabres get shut out at home in front of a sellout of 19,070. Paul Hamilton joining me, Brian Colziel, here on the postgame show. Paul, how about Tage Thompson's fight and the symbolism behind that and at least the early energy that they got out of it?
Well, as I said, I've been around players both on teams I've been on and not in the NHL, obviously, but and teams I've covered in the NHL, and there are players who are just like that. Michael Pekka was like that. He would threaten his teammates. He goes, if anybody jumps in for me, you'll have to deal with me in the locker room because I'll kill you. I mean, he was adamant that he was going to take care of his own business and nobody was going to come in. And I have a lot of respect for Tage Thompson, who said there were a lot of teammates who offered to be the guy. He said, nope, it's all me. I'm taking care of my own business. And boy, did he ever. I didn't even know he had that in him. But he's an okay fighter. I've never seen him get like his clock cleaned. But I've never seen him do that against a pretty tough guy. So, you know, it's the guy he fought, Nason knew it was coming. He told him. I mean, and he did it. So I have all the respect. And you could tell when we talked to Rasmus Dahlin at the end of the first period how much respect he had for it. And Lindy Ruff talked about it in the post game. All
Black Friday, more like Black Friday. Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Also, and so did Alex Lyon.
Yep. How about Alex Lyon, Paul? He got his first full game in 20 days here. What did you think? By the way, I wanted, before we get your thought online here, if people that were at the game, or maybe you're watching on the TV side, now you're here on the radio side for the post game, Paul's conversation with Dahlin talking about that his reaction to Thompson wanting to fight, doing the fight, all that, what it meant. If you go to the WGR Twitter handle, the link is there. It's about the sixth or seventh tweet down. You can just search for it there. So it was a good intermission interview there, as Paul mentioned with Dahlin. Okay, on to Lyon, Paul. What'd you think of his game here, despite the fact that he hasn't played in a full game in 20 days?
Well, unfortunately, in the first period where the Sabres were doing pretty well, Byram turns the puck over behind the net, but then Meyer tries to put it out front, and it hits Tuck, who was off the post, and it goes up in the air, comes down right for Hischier right in the crease, and he taps it in. So you get a bad bounce there, but it was a turnover that led to the bad bounce. It's still looking okay. The Sabres shot attempts were, I know it was only, the shots on goal were only 10-9, but shot attempts were way in favor of the Sabres. I think they had 21 shot attempts in the first period, so that was a lot in their favor. But then the Devils, just the way they are, they're a tough team. If you're going to beat the Devils, you better bring your lunch pail and be ready to play and ready to play hard. And still, it was a back-and-forth game, and the Sabres outshot them 15-8 and were, getting opportunities to, produce some offense. But again, nothing grade A that actually got to the net that Allen actually had to handle. And, but still – after two periods, it's only 2-0. You've handed them some goals, and you basically handed them that goal. You had the goal scorer and Palat both by themselves in front of the net, or pretty much by themselves. They're open, let's put it that way. And Palat fans on it. Gritziak gets it, puts it away. So, again, the coverage in front of the net is horrendous. I mean, they just – I don't know how they're going to fix that because they're not fixing it. And we're far enough away in the season that if they're going to fix it, they should be able to. But, you know, still a problem. And then, again, Byram gives the puck away. And Dylan in the left circle, that's the one I want Lyon to stop. I mean, that's – it's an absolute cannon. I understand it. He unloads. But the goaltender has to find a way to make a save there. And you're playing a goaltender that hadn't played a full game since the beginning of the month. Again, you have a inexperienced GM who is letting this go on with three goaltenders because he can't make a decision. I mean, a decision should have been made long ago on, all right, who are they trading? You got three here. Lukanen's healthy. You've got Levi down in Rochester, but he's just so scared that something might happen instead of doing the right thing and opening up a roster spot and making it so these goaltenders can play and get into a rhythm. They can't get into a rhythm. Ellis looked like he was getting into a rhythm, and then there's one bad game, and then he doesn't play again.
Paul, let me just jump in quick here, because Lindy was asked about it, and he said, like, that was the first time I've heard him show a little signs of frustration too about it. He says, it's not an easy process for me or them to have to go through. Now, he said they wanted to cover themselves with the Lukanen injury during camp. He said Lyon's been working on things with his game, so that's why maybe it was a little longer before they got him back in. So, you know, he talked about a little parts of the timeline, but for him to say it's not an easy process for me or them to have to go through, like, I think that's the most vocal on the record I've heard him maybe show some frustration of having to try to manage this three-goalie thing. Like, as a coach, I think that's got to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, sit down with your staff and with your coaches. Take Ellis first. Decide what you're going to do with him. If you don't think he's going to be a goaltender, you want to keep the other two, wave him, and he's going to go back to the St. Louis Blues. So be it. Then move on. Make a decision. That's your decision. You're not going to use him. You've got Levi. You've said over and over again how much confidence you have in Levi. He is not. His numbers are not good in Rochester right now this year. He probably isn't feeling really good, especially when Ellis got claimed off waivers. That could have been. I have not talked to him. Could have been a breaking point for him. Would have been for me. Let's put it that way. And so make a decision on him. If you decide you want to keep him, simple. Figure out, are you keeping Lyon or are you keeping Lukanen? If you can't figure out which, put them both out there. And whatever the best trade is, make the trade and keep the other one. But make a trade. Either waive Ellis or decide you want to keep Ellis in the organization, which is what I would do. Then as I said, if you can't make a decision between Lyon and Lukanen, put them both out there and take the best offer, and then you've got the other one. And that's how you do it. It's pretty simple, but you know they got a GM who's absolutely just paralyzed, and you know he can't make a decision.
Paul, last thing quickly, Lindy said that Mattias Samuelsson, after taking the elbow in the nose, is in concussions protocol. There is no status update. If he's out at all, that's a big blow because he's been their best defenseman.
No, he has been, and. And I'm not saying this from a Sabre standpoint. I'm saying this about an NHL standpoint. I watch hockey games, and I see this crap going on all the time. How do four referees, two linesmen and two referees, miss that in the corner where a guy is bleeding so badly, winds up in concussion protocol, and there's no penalty? How do four referees – You have a big problem in your game if four people on the ice all miss that. And it was in the corner where the puck was. I don't understand how time and time again we have to watch this in this league. And it was bad enough to give somebody a concussion and put him in concussion protocol, and there's no call. I just don't get it.
Thank you, Paul, for your thoughts, as always. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll have you lead off pregame at 7 tomorrow with the Sabres in Minnesota.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul. Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres fall 5-0. Yes, again, if you just maybe got in your car or just tuning into the postgame, Samuelson left the game. He was elbowed in the corner. No penalty called on the ice and had left a little blood trail going right to the locker room, to the bench, in concussion protocol. Lindy said no status update either way, nor good or bad. He just doesn't have one. So that would be a bad blow, Pat. Samuelson definitely, not even with his offensive contributions, but defensively he's been very good. That would be a big loss for them. If he's going to be even just miss one or two games, that would be a big loss.
Yeah, especially it's coming up against a team like Minnesota who's been kind of firing in all cylinders lately, missing that defensive presence. He's really been more forceful in the defensive end these last month or so.
And two games next week with Winnipeg. Those are bigger, heavier teams coming in.
Yeah, you're right. So, those are some tough teams that hopefully it's something that clears tonight and he can clear out of it right away. But, yeah, a tough play. You and I both watched it. Intent or not, that doesn't matter. It was pretty clear that there was an elbow to the face. Kind of looked like the player was turning and kind of just the motion of his stick as he was kind of trying to move the puck. But he catches Samuelson in the face so hard enough that, he could potentially miss time.
Yep. Quickly, let's read a few tweets here. We get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Lindy Ruff commenting on the three goaltending situation. I talked with Paul there. His really vocally saying it's frustrating. It's tough for him. It's tough for the players involved here. Mike saying it's now on the GM to trade someone and get some value back. Another guy here, Grumpy John, says maybe Kevin Adams sees this and finally will help his coach out, letting one of the goalies go. Enough already. Jim says, I don't have any confidence that it's going to happen. I think it's Paul and I have talked about this in pregame. Like I talked about with Owen and Derek during the second intermission. Like it's just tough right now. Like I don't know what you would even want Lindy to do in terms of saying managing this. It's turned into if you win, you kind of stay in. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I would officially do it well either. To reward good play, keep guys fresh. You don't want guys to sit too long after they've had a bad outing. Like it's got to be tough for Lindy.
You're right. And, a couple of years ago, Craig Anderson was here, and it was a three-goalie rotation at the time, and you kind of understood nobody had really taken the reins. Anderson was at the tail end of his career, and it kind of worked itself out throughout the course of the season, and it kind of just it fit for the year or however long it was. This, and you understand why Colton Ellis was claimed, but you're right, and I keep thinking back to, there's a reason why more teams don't do this also. If this worked, this sports is a copycat industry. If it worked, more teams would pick up on it, right? We see it in other sports all the time. It just doesn't work with the goaltending position because the points you've made about how a goaltender, even if you're somebody who is a career backup and you sit for a long period of time, to get back into the swing of things, even if maybe you're the goalie that's the scratch and you're not going through your normal routine that you would as a backup, that affects things as well. So I think there's just too many variables that work against the three-goalie rotation than in the favor of continuing to have it.
Great Iron and Puck says when you have three goalies, you really have none. That's the old backup quarterback phrase, right? Or the two quarterback when you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have none. And I don't blame Lindy for maybe managing how it is because, like you said, I don't have the perfect answer either. And I don't blame any of the goalies for being upset that they're not playing. I mean, they all have said, hey, when you look at when have we saw Lyon's best moments as a Saber? When he played 9 of the first 11.
Yep.
He got to play. When have we saw Lukanen's best? When he played 4 of 5. When it was Ellis's best, he played 3 of 4. But now, like Lyon today, we didn't see his best, but it was 20 days in between his last full game.
And it comes back to what are you really learning about who can be the number one goaltender if you have these situations where somebody sits for X amount of days? So I think that's part of the conversation as well.
Are you getting answers in this? If you were, by letting this play out for, let's just say, another month, would you get an answer? I don't even know if you would.
I think the answer is no.
Right.
So I think in the end, if this we've been talking about who's going to be the number one goaltender for this team for a decade. And at one point you thought it'd be Devin Levi, right? Now he's still in Rochester and is back there. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, a couple of years ago, when he was playing every game in that second half of the season, was playing really well. And you thought the Sabres have something here. And it's just this constant cycle of who is the number one goalie. And this three-goalie rotation is another another reason why I think we're still not after such a long period of time. And part of it is maybe the goalies themselves also. Nobody has taken the reins, but you still don't have that answer. And I think that's such a big part of the equation as well.
Yeah. 5-0 the final. Thank you for the tweets. We read them after each and every game at Brian WGR. Okay, let's get the scoreboard next. We go back to Pat with our drive around the league.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by AAA, official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. The team right above Buffalo in the standings, Toronto, took a 2-1 lead in the third period, but that has flipped quickly. Anthony Beauvillier, Jacob Chychrun scoring for Washington. The Capitals now lead Toronto 3-2. The Leafs are reeling, just 2-6 away from home ice this year. A minute 30 to go in the third period. Capitals again with a 3-2 lead. Winnipeg will be here on Monday night. First, they're in Carolina, losing 3-1 to the Hurricanes. Seth Jarvis, a pair of goals. Mark Scheifele, his 13th of the year for Winnipeg so far in a losing effort. 3:30 to go in the third period there. The Blue Jackets 1-1 with the Penguins. Sidney Crosby ties the score with his 14th of the season. Late stages of the opening period in that contest. About a half hour away from puck drop in Chicago, where Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks host Nashville. The Mammoth are in Dallas meeting the Stars. That's also an 8 o'clock faceoff. And all the finals from earlier on this afternoon include the Lightning doubling up the Red Wings 6-3. It was the Rangers. Artemi Panarin, a four-point game, including three assists, helping lead New York to a 6-2 victory over the Bruins. It took a shootout, but Buffalo's next opponent, the Wild, extend their winning streak to 7 in a row. 3-2 winners over the Avalanche, and they will now await the Sabres in St. Paul. The Flames defeat Florida 5-3. A shootout saw the Flyers defeat the Islanders 4-3 this afternoon by the same score. St. Louis upends Ottawa. It was Montreal 4, Vegas 1. Also a shootout, the Ducks slip past the Kings 5-4, and the Sharks 3-2 winners over the Canucks. Local college hockey action up at Niagara University right now at Dwyer Arena. RPI leads the Purple Eagles 3-1. They've played two periods. Earlier this afternoon across the street, Canisius doubled up by Air Force 6-3. And notes from football in the NFL Week 13 continuing on today with the Bears. An upset victory over the Eagles as they get to 9-3 on the year with a 24-15 win over Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, two touchdown passes, both to A.J. Brown, coming in a losing effort. And again, the Bears now 9-3 on the season, a surprise by many this year under head coach Ben Johnson in his first season. And one note from local college football as well, Brian, a game you and I were keeping an eye on today. UB falls to Ohio University 31-26, and unfortunately for the Bulls, that drops them to 5-7, finishing out the regular season.
Three cracks at the end of the year to try to get themselves bowl eligible. Couldn't get that elusive sixth win. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, what's next? Well, they'll finish out November here with Minnesota tomorrow, 8 o'clock puck drop. We'll be on the air with pregame at 7 on WGR on our flagship station then. Hope you can tune in. Next week, we get to see Winnipeg twice. Home here against the Jets on Monday. That's a 7:30 start. That'll be a little bit later for everybody. And then Wednesday, another 7:30 start against the Flyers. That's on the road in Philadelphia. And then in Winnipeg Friday for a 7 o'clock start, which is going to be 6 o'clock Eastern or Central time there. So anyway, times are a little off next week for maybe what you might expect them to be. So pay attention, especially if you're coming here on Monday. It's a 7:30 start against the Jets. But up next, Minnesota. And as Pat mentioned, they just wanted a shootout over Colorado tonight. So they've got a 7-game win streak coming in tomorrow.
They will not have Marcus Foligno, as he was placed on injured reserve week to week with an injury. So the former Sabre will not be in the lineup tomorrow.
Okay, good note on that. Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
All right, I want to thank our crew here as we wrap things up on this post game, including our network producer back in our Amherst studios, TJ Luckman. Thank you, TJ, for your work. Tom Maddy, our on-site engineer. Thank you, Tom. Crew here, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, gentlemen, for your work today. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. The final score here from KeyBank Center, New Jersey 5, Buffalo nothing. Thanks for listening. Have a good rest of your Friday. We'll talk tomorrow with the Sabres and the Wild from Minnesota right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.